Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast with your host, South Cox of Stalker Stick Bows.
Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast. This is South Cox, and it is a little pre-stormy day here in February, getting ready for some whiteout later today. I am relaxing this morning, kicking back in the chair, and we are about to start a new book, One with the Wilderness, Passions of a Solo Bowhunter by Mike Mitten. And I reached out to Mike sometime last year, a little slow in getting the ball rolling on this one. And I had had this idea. So Mike wrote this book. Let me see if I can find it. In 2009. So it's been out for quite a while. And I've read it a couple of times. It's extremely entertaining, well-written, and just packed with information. Mike Mitten is a traditional bow hunter that has been in it shooting a bow for over 50 years now, I believe, or close to it, close to 50. And he did a fantastic job compiling this book. He lives in Illinois, and despite living in Illinois, has spent a lot of time hunting out west and in Alaska, and so he has a lot of knowledge to contribute. He did a great job in this book. There's some whitetail stuff in here as well, and I actually learned some stuff from a whitetail tactic standpoint that I employed on a whitetail hunt I did a number of years ago, actually shortly after I read his book. And so I think that there's, you know, information and inspiration throughout this book that would be useful for virtually anybody who's got a bow in their hand. To boot, Mike is just a fantastic person. If you've never seen any of his videos, particularly the Primal Dreams video that he was co-producer of, I highly recommend that. If you go over to brothersofthebow.com, you can digitally download it, or you can buy it by DVD. It's a co-production with the Wenzel brothers. And then they've got a follow-up to that one, which is Essential Encounters. And that one is also really good. They're not your typical hunting videos where they're stacking up, you know, tons of critters. It's more about what we experience, you know, while we're out there in the field. That 99% of the other part of the time that we spend while we're either sitting in a tree stand or this is a primarily whitetail video, though it does have a lot of, you know, additional footage, and there's some really neat scenes with you know, whitetail and coyote interacting and some bobcat footage and all kinds of stuff that you know, you can sit down with a non-hunter and watch these videos, and they'll get a better understanding of why we're out there and, you know, what we experience while we're on the mountain or sitting in the tree stand. So highly recommended. So in any case, you know, last year I had this idea as I was working on, you know, reading these Patrick McManus chapters, that it would be really neat to read through this book, One with the Wilderness, and just go chapter by chapter and have each chapter be a podcast episode. So I reached out to Mike, a little nervous, I'm not going to lie, that, you know, I was going to be translating his written word into, you know, podcast form. And much to my pleasure, he was, you know, he gave me the nod. And so if you want to learn more about Mike, go to his website, Herd Bull Productions, and there's a bio on there. There's also, you can buy this book via digital download. It looks like right now he's out of stock, so I know he's printed at least two printings of this book, and possibly more. But I got one from the first printing, and then again another. I've got two or three copies of it myself, and you can go, you know, read the book yourself by digital download. He's also got a new moose hunting DVD called Chasing Solitude. That is a really, you know, really well done. He goes on three moose hunts, and it's a solo production. So he's self-filming, and there's, you know, some amazing footage. And I mean, the reality is that most of us will not make it up to Alaska to go on a moose hunt, but I don't know anybody who doesn't dream about it. And so if you'd like to live vicariously, you know, through another person's adventure, this is a really well done production. And just the scenery up there is amazing. And for that alone, it's worth the, you know, the $20, or you can also get it on Blu-ray for $24.95. So get it, you know, in HD there. And then he's got some posters on there that are really inspirational as well. So before we dive into the book, a little bit of housework. If you are not a Patrick McManus fan and didn't hear the last episode that I recorded, number 98, I'm doing something a little bit different, and you'll hear this on upcoming episodes once the kind of the word gets out. What I'm asking people to do is to jump on their podcast app and rate the podcast here. And in addition, when you get to the review portion of it, you know, if you have a question, a guest suggestion, or a topic that you'd like to have covered, just write that in the review. If you're leaving the review in Apple, I'll be checking that, you know, before I record each episode, and I will I'll read off the question and then answer it. And if it's one that's relevant to like the guest that I'm going to have on that episode, then I'll maybe get the guest to kick in their take on it as well. And then if you are using one of the other podcast apps, I probably don't have them all on my phone. So if you could then DM me, and, you know, through either Facebook, you know, Messenger, Instagram, or whatever, and, you know, the Stalker Stickbows Facebook or Stalker Stickbows Instagram, and say, hey, I left a review or a question on SoundCloud or whatever, then I will go retrieve that app and then pull it off of there. So I appreciate in advance everybody's questions and topic suggestions or guest suggestions. It's always fun to hear what you guys want to hear, so you're not just kind of relying on ideas I come up with. So I will dive into Mike's book here, One with the Wilderness, Passions of a Solo Bow Hunter. And we'll start with the foreword by Gene Wenzel. I am proud, pleased, and honored to have been asked to write the foreword to this, Mike Mitten's first book. I met Mike over 20 years ago and quickly learned to respect and admire him, not only as a bow hunter, but also a human being. Unless you corner him, Mike is a soft-spoken man, quiet, and whose life has always revolved around the outdoors. Strong as an ox, one can't help but picture him on a football field. Soon after first meeting him, I asked if he ever played college ball. His answer was direct, matter-of-fact, subdued, and classic Mike Mitten. He said, "No, I hunted deer." I wasn't surprised to learn Mike was an Eagle Scout, spending much of his youth in the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and trapping, raising hounds, and doing what he loved while connecting intimately with the land. Although he is very, very close to his family and friends, most people consider him the perfect example of a loner. He has spent much of his free time alone in Alaska, the Rocky Mountains, rural Illinois, and Wisconsin, often carrying everything he needed on his back. Mike has slept outdoors alone as much as anyone I know, shivering in snow and rain, not necessarily fighting the elements as much as accepting them as part of the package. All discomforts aside, he has logged many years doing what he cherishes. The pages that follow will make that evident. In dealing with wild animals alone in wild places, sooner or later one realizes there is a very spiritual side to hunting solo. Few intelligent people will stop to examine, behold the sights, smells, and sounds of the Lord's work. Some might say it's an opportunity to experience religion. Mike would look at it as a way to feel God's presence. Solo hunting brings with it a challenge not offered by any means or reliance. The author is going to teach you to notice details and be aware of choices as well as opportunities. One cannot help but understand that he or she will be a whole lot better off, not as an opponent of nature, but as a wise observer, interpreter, and participant of their own environment. Outdoor people need to learn to move and think as one with nature, not of man. Since this book is mostly about solo hunting, chances are the reader will learn things about themselves and being alone. Herein lies the real challenge and the truth. The Eagle Scout and Mike is going to teach you something, inspire you to think and do things for yourself. Many of our best philosophers are quiet men. I had the good fortune to read Mike's manuscript long before this book was published. Mike expressed his opinion, asked mine, and shared his thoughts in a way only two close friends could. The author ended up using his own experiences and judgment as the basis for many of his statements. Mike has a knack for teaching by explaining situations while reasoning in simple terms that most can relate to. What's more, this book is somewhat unique in the way it is written, in the fact that even though it is intended to be about solo hunting, the reader will quickly learn that many of the author's stories and examples draw them to a point where they feel they are part of each scenario, and in doing so, contradict the solo theme without actually taking away from the book whatsoever. Read each chapter carefully. Without exception, you will learn something. But more than education, entertainment, or philosophy, I think you will see that this book is really not about being alone. It is about family and relationships. So settle back, and as you get drawn into these pages, imagine, like I did, a campfire. Pull up your collar to keep off a chilly breeze out of the north and feel a big hand on your shoulder and a quiet voice in your ear saying, "Is this neat or what?" Gene Wenzel, Libertyville, Iowa. Acknowledgements. Even though I often hunt alone and try to do things for myself, I can't overlook the help I received in publishing this book. I would like to thank my wife Paula for letting me be me and answer to the call of the wilderness. My parents, Ron and Marilyn Mitten, raised 7 children. I suppose it was tough times, although we never knew it. I'd like to thank them for their nurturing support and planting in us the seeds of faith in our Lord. I experienced my connections to nature through interactions with my father, and when he invested in land in northern Wisconsin, all of us got a chance to share in the wonderment. I'd like to acknowledge Steve Osmaninski, Rebecca Cook, Matthew Smith, Gene Wenzel, and Barry Wenzel for assistance in editing my written words and offering feedback and suggestions to better convey my message. Matt Smith is the president of James W. Smith Printing Company in Gurnee, Illinois, and a longtime friend of our family who went above and well and beyond the responsibility of a printer or publisher with the assistance to me on this, my very first book project. Matt, I'm grateful for your artistic vision that complemented my own as we created the photo layouts that helped portray my experiences and legitimized my words in such a classy way. I would like to give special thanks to Larry Logston from Logston Studios for his enthusiasm in promoting bow hunting and this book. The time and effort Gary put in creating the brothersofthebow.com website is greatly appreciated and irreplaceable. My daughter, Courtney Sassman, helped me a great deal with typing the manuscript and transferring stories I wrote years ago to a usable computer document. My daughter-in-law, Becky Mitten, and my sister-in-law, Patty Mitten, also helped with typing. Thank you all so much. Since portions of several chapters were published previously, I would like to sincerely acknowledge Traditional Bowhunter Magazine, North American Whitetail, Great Lakes Bowhunter, Bow and Arrow Magazine, American Bowhunter, the Professional Bowhunter Magazine, and the Boyer's Journal for allowing me the opportunity to share my thoughts and adventures with their readerships. I am also grateful for the support of the owners, moderators, and members who frequent the following websites, tradgang.com, stickbow.com, and droptinetraditions.com. I've been inspired by many people in my life, and although I could only mention a few of them in the book, I would like all others to know I appreciate them for motivating me to do good things. There were teachers that described me as a diamond in the rough, and I'd like to cite this book as evidence they were right. I would like to also thank all my brothers and sisters who I've grown up with and shared many hunting and outdoor experiences with. Brothers David and Mark, thank you guys for keeping me grounded. With so much time spent in the field, I know I was not always there for my kids, but I hope that I was available when you needed me most. Life is a balancing act, and I appreciate all the love and joy I've received from my five children, Joe, Courtney, Matt, Tim, and Dylan. To my kids and grandson, Cody, I hope this book will in some way inspire you to do great things because you all have exceptional promise. It took me half a lifetime to experience the adventures I would like to share, and so with great pride, I present you, One with the Wilderness, My Passions as a Solo Bow Hunter. Introduction. To many people, the wilderness is a forbidden place and certainly not a location to venture into alone. For others, the wilderness is almost like a second home, and they give no more thought to going out hunting solo as they would going into town and buying groceries. They are just that comfortable and confident with their woodsmanship, and after they collect their gear and have composed a plan, they will be ready to trade a more civilized world for one that is considered to be harder and less forgiving. Why do they do it? How do they prepare? How did they build the self-confidence and mental toughness to go it alone? How did they adapt from highly social interactions to solitude in a matter of hours? What are the benefits and liabilities of hunting alone? I never asked any of these questions personally because as a kid I always seemed to fantasize about being a mountain man, wilderness scout, or a Kit Carson of the West. So after more than 15 years of taking annual solo bow hunting trips, I'm now able to relate in a small way to my own fantasies. This book is not a summary of what many other solo hunters do or a consensus of what state of readiness or equipment is required, but rather it's a collection of experiences from my own journey towards self-reliance and physical and emotional preparedness. Hunting alone was not something I came to by design. It's just simply what I do and where I'm at in my life right now. I can try to explain it this way. When I was a child, my parents would take me to Grandma's house. It was exciting and fun, but also scary and dangerous. I was glad that my parents were going with me. Once I got to her house, I became less nervous around Grandma, who I didn't get to see that often. I became comfortable in her house and yard. It was fun, but there were many hazards inside and out. I learned not to play with anything porcelain, glass, or in the fancy cabinet. Outside, I wasn't allowed to climb up in the hayloft or go near the big animals like pigs and cows. Other than that, there were all kinds of neat things to play with and places to explore. She had cats, dogs, and chickens in the yard, and upstairs in the old farmhouse there were games. I even discovered a tanned coyote hide in the upper closet. I loved to go over to my grandma's farm, but never alone. I wanted my parents to go with me. As time went on and the more my confidence grew, the more comfortable I was going over there. Eventually, I could be dropped off and left at grandma's all day and then for an entire weekend. Eventually, I could go there and take care of some of the animals when grandma was gone. Sure, I got hurt in the barn, cut by barbed wire, chased by the hogs, but that was all part of the learning experience. It was the same with hunting. Before I ever started hunting, I had to learn respect and appreciate our existence with animals. I learned animal behavior and how to live among them all day with less sophisticated shelters than I was used to. I learned to adapt to all kinds of weather conditions and use tools and equipment I had on hand to make life more bearable. All this took time, so I dedicated the first section of this book to my unintentional growth plan. It includes a journey of acquired knowledge and skills. My passion for hunting white-tailed deer was a major factor in being able to hunt alone. The pursuit of a mature buck lends itself to a solo hunting style. Big bucks don't tolerate a lot of disturbance, so it's a foregone conclusion that less people in the woods on a regular basis means more opportunity for those close encounters with my prey. I didn't limit myself to only whitetails, and there were other animals I hunted that didn't compete with the time commitment I needed to dedicate to the whitetail rut. I've hunted hogs, turkey, javelina, nilgai, and bear in the spring, and moose, elk, caribou, pronghorn antelope, and mule deer in late summer and early fall. Friends or my brothers accompanied me on many of these trips. We learned from each other's successes, and I also paid close attention to our failures. I tend to write more detail about some of my own mistakes and misjudgments than other outdoor writers, but for me it helps to regain my confidence, and it allows me to come to terms with the emotional side of hunting. Realizing my own inadequacies was much more difficult on solo hunts, and it could be one of the reasons why so many other hunters don't enjoy hunting alone. They've lost that sounding board that a hunting partner can provide when things don't go as planned. The solo spirit is something that came natural to me, and I readily identified it and embraced it. It wasn't all that different for me to go on a 2-week hunting trip alone when circumstances first dictated. Yes, I was somewhat apprehensive, but I was also apprehensive the first time I hunted new wilderness areas with my friends. But this may have been a little different because I have been told the rules all the while growing up to never go out alone and always let someone know where you're going. The buddy system was something that was frequently practiced on weekend Boy Scout campouts and summer camps. Many of my hunting partners and friends who were quite accomplished outdoorsmen told me that they wouldn't recommend hunting alone. You can say it went against my own better judgment to follow a fantastic yearning, but if I kept a cool head and told regional wildlife biologists, local outfitters, my wife, or a friend who lived near the area, the approximate location of my destination, and the time frame of my hunt, I could at least appease some of my apprehensions. Like many other things in life, after experiencing solo hunting for the first time, it wasn't so foreign to me. I knew what to expect. But one of the unexpected byproducts of hunting solo was I found rewards in every trip, even when game wasn't taken. I certainly felt more a part of nature alone than I did when hunting in a group. I don't use hunting alone as an excuse for not being successful, just as I don't view my choice in weaponry as a crutch for sometimes coming home empty-handed. It may be the challenge, or it may be just doing it the old-fashioned way, but when I finally do succeed and my prey surrenders to my arrow, I really can't describe my emotions well or tell you how long the feeling stays with me. Although I will try to explain them to you in the middle chapters of this book, I hope that I can do justice to this way of living. Like many hunters, I was inspired and continue to be inspired by others. They include some famous hunters or other outdoorsmen who live their lives as ambassadors of wildlife conservation. Sometimes it is members of my own family or a close friend. I have certainly become emotional and inspired by many people who have reached out to me who I have never met. So I guess the emphasis of this final section of the book called Inspirations is to let you know that although I often conduct myself in a solitary way while in the field, I never really feel like I'm hunting alone. And now I hope to bring all of you along with me, Mike Mitten. So the next episode, we will start on chapter 1, which is outdoor skills. And I hope that you tune in for that one, and we'll be back shortly.
If you have a question, topic, or guest that you'd like to hear about, log on to iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Rate the podcast, and in the review, leave your question, topic, or guest suggestion. Any questions posted will be answered at the beginning of the next recorded podcast. Topics and guest suggestions will be considered and pursued. Additionally, the rating will help the podcast grow. You can further support the podcast by logging on to the Stalker Stickbows website and purchasing a Western Bowhunter podcast t-shirt or window sticker from the Stalker store. Thanks for your support. I come down for